Good morning, dear brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
It's a joy to be back in Dieren again and be with you here. It's also a joy to think that I've asked over 40 of my praying friends to pray for us this morning, which they are doing in different places. And today we're going to look at John chapter 16, and I think probably if you wanted a title to lead in to this chapter, it might be something like this: what is going on here right now? Have you ever asked that? Like, you know, you're driving on your way to St. George and you take your eyes off the road and you go off onto the side and down over and roll over three times, and you're sitting upside down in your seatbelt and say, what is going on here right now? Life's a bit like that, isn't it? We get into situations where things are just not going the way we thought. And that reminded me of the opening words, which are quite famous really, in Charles Dickens's novel A Tale of Two Cities. I've got them there in front of you. He starts off his novel this way: it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch or time of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity or unbelief. It was the season of light, it was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. It just occurred to me that there is no other moment in human history where those words might have better fitted than when Jesus gathered with his disciples for what we call the Last Supper, before the first Good Friday. And this was the moment where, in human history, Jesus, the Son of God, traveling preacher and healer, was about to become the crucified and risen Lord and Saviour of the world. What is going on here? And that might have been what the disciples were asking themselves, because Jesus had been intimating that things were going to change. How do you cope with change? Are you good with change? Predictability is important to us, isn't it? We like to know where it's headed. We feel secure if we know what's going on here. Now, chapter 16, as you've probably been told, is part of four chapters, 14, 15, 16 and 17 of John's Gospel, that is called the Farewell Discourses. That's what scholars call the Farewell Discourses, because it's everything that Jesus said to the disciples at the Last Supper in the light of what was going on here. And John Calvin, I think he was one of the reformers. You've heard of Martin Luther, John Calvin, they were two main 1600s reformers. And of this chapter he wrote, "Christ speaks at length to confirm, that is to strengthen his disciples, and not without reason, for an arduous and terrible struggle lay before them. It was an extraordinary temptation that soon they would see him hanging on the cross." Can you imagine what that must have been like for these people that had spent these 3 years with Jesus? A sight that would cause them nothing but despair. We must always notice the time when these words were spoken. Christ wanted his disciples to stand bravely and courageously when everything seemed in utter confusion. And so we ought to use the same shield to ward off such attacks. It is, of course, impossible for us to avoid feeling these various tumults, but though we may be shaken, we must not fail. Thus it is said that the believers are not troubled. You remember Jesus in John 14 said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Thus it is said that the believers are not troubled, although they are pressed down by very great difficulties. Yet, relying on the word of God, they hold their ground, upright and steady. And so Jesus begins chapter 16 by saying, "I have said all these things," that he said already in 14 and 15, "I've said all these things to keep you from falling away." Now, brothers and sisters, speaking of yourself personally, have you ever wondered why you haven't fallen away from Jesus? Have you ever wondered what keeps me in there? Like maybe already in some of the disciples' minds, like those fishermen from Galilee, they were saying, "Look, we gave up everything to follow this guy. We've been with him 3 years and it's been really super cool. Being with him and hearing the preaching of the kingdom and seeing the people healed and the great crowds coming. And we really believed he's the Messiah. But what is going on here right now? Maybe we all just better forget it and go back to Galilee and get our boats and go back fishing." That would be falling away. But he's saying these things to them so they won't fall away. Not only that, but they'll put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he's offering service to God. And they'll do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. It never ceases to amaze us as believers that Christians are the most martyred people in the world. All around the world, Christians are killed because of Jesus. Thrown out of the synagogue, thrown out of Islamic countries. They get a tough time in India because the prime minister or president wants to Hinduize the 1,400 million Indians. "But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes to you, you may remember that I told them to you." That is the hard part, isn't it? Remembering. There's a beautiful old gospel song we used to sing back in the dim days called "Tell Me the Old, Old Story of Jesus and His Love." Hello? No, you're too young. Okay. It has a line, "Tell me the story often, because I forget so soon." Tell me the story often. The early dew of morning has passed away at noon. You know, the dew of heaven was on the word in the morning, but by lunchtime, I've forgotten. That's us. And so Jesus introduces them to the coming Holy Spirit. He said, "I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me." So that what is going on here? A big change is happening. These guys have had this beautiful situation, 3 years with Jesus, traveling with him, listening to him, watching him at work, watching the people come and find faith and hope and love. And now there's an uneasy thing because it's all going to change. And I mean, how could it change for the better than what it is? What could God and Jesus and his heavenly Father have in mind? "I like it the way it is, please." Have you ever said that? We got something nice going here. Look, I don't want it changed. And yet, change happens. None of you ask me where you're going, because they don't want him to go away. But I have said these things to you, and sorrow has filled your heart. Lord, when Jesus first gave his prediction of being suffering and crucified and raising from the dead, Peter took him aside and said, Lord, this should never happen to you. Like, I'm not going to allow it. It's going well. Don't stuff it up. And sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Now, sometimes God says to us, it is to your advantage that I change things. We mightn't be convinced. You know, I think of that lovely lady, Joni, who injured her spine and became a paraplegic. Imagine God saying to her, Joni, it is to your advantage that you become a paraplegic. Oh, yeah? And it is to the advantage of the kingdom, too, because the work that Joni has done in that situation has been worldwide and wonderful. So when God says to you, it is to your advantage. I was very much set in as a son of a farmer and stud sheep breeder, just got married. It was looking good, had a bun in the oven, and steady as she goes. And God gave me this weird experience in the night where he woke me up and said, everything's going to change. You're going in the ministry. And I woke my wife up and said, could you be a minister's wife? This is about 2 a.m. And she said, well, I suppose. And from that moment on, everything changed. But it was to our advantage. And to your advantage too. Because I'm here and not there. But specifically, it is to your advantage. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. So that was the big change. And Rob was talking to the kids about it. That if Jesus is here, that's cool. But he can only be in one place at one time. In one locality with one tiny group of people. But if the Helper comes, as the Bible says, in the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and there'll be people prophesying and doing stuff all around the world. That's the advantage. Not as nice as having Jesus cooking your toast in the morning, but better, because the Holy Spirit is with everyone in the world. And brothers and sisters, don't you just love to hear what the Holy Spirit's doing around the world? Oh, it's good. I mean, forget Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin and President Xi and what they're doing. By golly, you get the inside story that they never put on the ABC News of what the Spirit of God is doing. You know, there's people in Iran who have a dream and Jesus appears to them, and they're the niece of the Ayatollah, and they have to tell all the Islamic leaders that they've met Jesus. And oh, I just love what God does. It's got a sense of humour too. But specifically, he tells what the Spirit will do. He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Hey, did you know you don't go to hell because of being a sinner? You go to hell because you reject Jesus. That's why people go to heaven. God has mercy on sinners. You don't have to go to hell because you're a sinner. But if you harden your heart against God's incredible redemption of you, then there ain't nothing else. And so the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin because here is Jesus doing this for them, and their hearts are cold and hard. And the Holy Spirit says, come on, buddy. You know, you might be a cruddy sinner, but you gotta deal with this. Wake up to yourself. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father. So he is the righteous one. That's what the Old Testament called him, the righteous one. And he goes to the Father on our behalf. And the Holy Spirit says that's who he is, and that's what he's doing. He's interceding on our behalf. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. He's exposed. He's defeated. His grip on humanity, which is the guilt of our sins. His claim that we belong to him, that is broken. And Jesus said, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. You have seen lightning going, zoom, goes quickly, doesn't it? That's how Jesus saw Satan losing his position of accusation. And it's the Holy Spirit who works these things so that we know that they are true. How do we know? We know because the Spirit tells us and bears witness within us. I still have things to say to you, said Jesus, but you can't bear them now. You know, a sermon can only be so long, can't it? You can't bear any more. Can we have a cup of tea then? And a lot of the things that Jesus has to tell them its time has not yet come. So the best time for you to hear a thing is to hear it in its right time, when you need to hear this. Well, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He will teach you things at the time you need to know. And he'll guide you into all the truth. He'll be able to discern for you what's right and what's wrong, which with the media, the internet, you really need that work of the Spirit. For he will speak not on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he'll declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. If we wonder, how is it that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God? How is it I believe that he died for my sins? How is it that I believe that he rose from the dead and that he is Lord of all? And there's no one greater than him. Well, how come I believe that and somebody else doesn't believe it? That is the work of the Holy Spirit in you, has done that. A little while, said Jesus, and you'll see me no longer. Again a little while, and you will see me. So here's this change thing coming again. Jesus is saying, a little while, and you won't see me. And they're saying, what's he talking about? this change thing. What is this he's saying to us? A little while and you'll not see him, and again a little while and you'll see me, because I'm going to the Father. So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We don't know what he's talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, is this what you're asking yourselves? What I meant by saying a little while and you'll not see me, and a little while you will see me. Truly I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. just coming back to that thought, I wonder what it was like for those 12 disciples and the others and the women folk to stand there and watch Jesus dying on the cross. What would that do to you? It would be extraordinary, wouldn't it? And if ever you ask, what is going on here, that would be the day. So, and the contrast at that time is that as Jesus is being crucified, the people of the world are cheering. You've probably, as a believer, known that experience, that your heart is totally differently wired to people around you. If God and the church and Jesus Christ are being denigrated, everybody's happy about that, but you're grieving. You must be strange. You're different. You're not of this world. That's true. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. That's Jesus' promise. What is going on here? Well, whatever it is, you are sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. And then Jesus gets a really good illustration, especially for the ladies. He said, when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. Because it's hard work, ladies, isn't it? Having a baby. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has come into the world. Now, I can't vouch for this, but I'm sure our mothers can. Is that true? Like, the hard work and the pain and the difficulty, the suffering of the whole drama just goes into the past, doesn't it? And the whole thing is about the newborn child and the joy of that birth and so on. It even changes husbands and fathers. They're never the same again when they held the child that they have fathered. That's a pretty good illustration, isn't it? And so Jesus says, your hearts will rejoice and no one will take your joy from you. Whatever is going on here in your life at any time, no one will take your joy from you. What's that do for you? And Jesus says, in that day, you will ask nothing of me. Now, God will come to you and say, hey, you were asking what was going on here. It's okay, Lord. I'm sweet. I've got it now. I understand. Don't worry about my questions. My sorrow has turned to joy. I see what's going on here. And I tell you, friends, once you see what is going on here, you are a new person. Nothing can take your joy away from you. Nothing. Even if you have rolled over 3 times and are upside down in your seatbelt on the side of the road waiting for someone to show up, it won't take your joy away from you. You'll say, whoops, someone will come along in a minute. We'll see if I can get this seatbelt undone. Bad luck about the vehicle, but praise God I'm not hurt. But my joy, no, joy's intact, no problem there. That's a lovely state to live in, isn't it? To know that there is nothing in all creation that can separate you from the love of God. That's a beautiful way to live your life. So Jesus says, I have come from the Father and come into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. That is what is going on here. And that is the most significant thing that has ever gone on in the history of the human race. His disciples said, now you're speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone question you. This is why we believe you came from God. So, you know, sometimes we say, yeah, I got it. Yeah, I'm cool now. I'm right. Yeah. And Jesus says, do you really now believe? Look, the hour's coming when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and you will leave me alone. He said that in fulfillment of a prophecy in Zechariah. I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. And they went out the next day. Jesus was arrested, he was crucified, and the shepherd was struck and the flock scattered. Even Peter, he really scattered, didn't he? Yeah. And I guess we get a window at that point into our frailty. We can get it, but we can still get knocked off our horse. The thing is, the horse stands there and you get back on again pretty quick. Yet Jesus said, I am not alone, for the Father is with me, and I have said these things to you that in him you may have peace. The Bible talks about the peace that passes all understanding. It is, if you like, contrary to logic. Like the wheels are falling off, it's 9:15 in the morning and already 7 things have gone wrong. But the peace that passes all understanding hasn't left me. My joy is intact. That's a lovely way to live. And I tell you what, you become a new and different kind of person when you have that peace. You are the person who doesn't lose it when things start to go wrong. And there are people who lose it, don't they, when things start to go wrong. And they, you know, they start to yell and scream and wail and woe and, oh, the end of the world's coming, it's going to be terrible, and doomsayers and stuff. That is not you. Your feet are on the rock. You have the peace that passes all understanding. Your joy will never be taken away from you. Because you know, and here's the last line of the chapter, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And the word tribulation, it's just a fancy Bible word for trouble. We have another word in Australia, it's a 4-letter word, something happens. Probably aware of that. And it's true, doesn't it? That stuff does happen. But take heart, because in this world you have trouble, but Jesus has overcome the world. Now, some might say, hallelujah. But I kind of like to say, whoopee! Whoopee! Can you do that with me? Whoopee! No, louder. Whoopee! And that's where we are. That's where we live. Praise the Lord. We've got a song now that actually says all of that. Let's sing that now.